Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
This morning, the message won't take too long. It's a simple message, but it's one of those hard-to-do messages. I don't mean hard to preach. No, that was a few weeks ago when I preached. That was a hard one to preach. But not hard to preach, just a hard one to implement in our lives. Because you've probably heard of revival and a move of the Holy Spirit and God. And I believe in those revivals. I grew up hearing about those revivals. I grew up when a revival was happening around me, but I was too young to really know what was going on. I was in the basement of the church playing games. But there's also a different kind of revival within us, personally. And there's one that I want to talk about, and it's interesting. It goes a little bit along with the message that I preached in youth on Wednesday, but it's not entirely that. It's different. So any youth in here, don't worry. There might be a little overlap, but mostly different. All right. But on Wednesday, I preached a message about how we come to this place and we have faith and we show that faith and we grow in our faith. But there comes a point where we have to progress in our faith because the Bible tells us faith without action is dead. And dead things need to be revived. And that's the personal revival I want to talk about this morning. Some of us have been coming to church, doing the devotionals, doing the thing, consumerism Christianity. But our faith has no action, so which it is dead, and you need to be revived. Because your life is meant to be lived with a purpose. I just had a conversation this last week. I was driving down the road, okay? I was driving through some neighborhood. And I saw this, and I had to call a friend of mine, the only friend I knew that would get it, would totally understand it. He's the only one, okay? But, and I'm not here to insult anybody. Don't take offense to this, okay? But I drove down the street, and I saw this very, very, very advanced aged man. And he's out on the side of the street, and where the curb is, there's snow piled up. There's still snow piled up. But it's kind of overhanging where the curb is. And he's taking a shovel, and he's just, the overhang, he's just knocking it down so that the snow was, like, even with the curb. And I thought, man, we ain't got anything better to do. When I get to be that age, I got to have something better to do. And there's nothing wrong. Again, don't take offense to this. Please don't. You take care of your yard, you do your thing, all that good stuff. You're talking to a guy whose wife takes care of their yard. So, and then the trees and the wood and the driveway, my in-laws take care of that for me. No, really. But no, I understand. There's things that we need to do and all this different stuff, but it went through my brain of, and not in judgment of this guy and what he was doing. He's doing his thing. He's living his life. But I don't want to get to the day in my life where all of a sudden my life, I'm just busying myself with these idle things. These things that in the grand scheme of things don't really matter. Again, this guy might be reaching people and doing all sorts of stuff. It was a metaphor for me. It was a vision to the future. I got to be doing something. I got to be living my life with purpose. But then it made me think, what am I doing right now? What am I doing right now? It totally hit me in that moment as I'm looking at him to look at myself. Not just who I might someday be, but who I am right now. Am I carrying out in my life? And when we look at this spiritually, because my faith can be built up, my faith can be built up by reading his word, by coming to church, by participating in worship, having a prayer life. And these things are not bad. They are good, but they are meant to produce fruit, and there's meant to be action. Without action, those things are dead. And so we need a revival in this place of our heart. not just a revival in this church. Yes, absolutely. But we need a revival in your life, that no matter what age you are, there is a purpose to be living, that there is no excuse greater than the purpose God has given you. So I want to look at Matthew 14, verse 22. It's a section of scripture I'm going to read, so let's get to it. Immediately after this, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake, while he sent the people home. After sending them home, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. Night fell, and he was there alone. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from land, for a strong wind had risen, and they were fighting heavy waves. And 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them, walking on water. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. In their fear, they cried out, "It's a ghost!" But Jesus spoke to them at once. "Don't be afraid," he said. "Take courage. I am here." Then Peter called to him, "Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you, walking on the water." "Yes, come," Jesus said. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water towards Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink. "Save me, Lord," he shouted. Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. "You have so little faith," Jesus said. "Why did you doubt me?" When they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped, and then the disciples worshiped him. "You really are the Son of God," they exclaimed. This story is an example to me of purpose, faith, and action. But there's different perspectives within this story. Because, see, God has called you to a great many things. A lot of times I'm talking to people about this sort of stuff, and they're like, "Well, I'm just not sure what my calling is yet." Well, then you haven't read your Bible. Waiting on a call is an excuse. Period. You have a job to do, a calling already on your life. Saying that you're waiting on a calling is silly, and it's an excuse, and it's a choice to protect you from what you're afraid of. See, that's the thing, is if we believe in God's word and he says he will work out all things, good and bad, he will work out all things for the good of those who love him. If you believe that, then there is nothing in your life, past, present, or future, that you should allow diagnose you and change you and be an excuse for you for life. Because it is a choice to let the past trauma, struggle, experience define you now. Because you believe in God, because you believe in his power, had something caught my throat for a second, right in the middle of that word. Because you believe in power, because you believe in his deliverance, because you believe in his grace and his mercy, because you believe he died and resurrected, you are choosing. It isn't, "Well, life made me this way." No, you are choosing. "Well, this happened to me, so I am who I am." No, you're choosing who you are. You have been given the secret and the solution to the things of this life. I'm not saying it's a flip of a switch. No. If I need to give a disclaimer, I will. There's a process to overcoming things that happen to us. There's a process to going through it and getting through it and all these different things. But to not endure the process or believe the process or to sit there and say, "This is who I am," you do not believe what his word says. We are without excuse. Now, understand this, another disclaimer for you. There are some clinical diagnoses that I understand can be labeled on us, and there are things that take a process, and if you've chosen to seek professional help and do those things, I understand that. I am not speaking directly to those things. So don't get offended thinking I'm saying your PTSD from whatever happened in the past is a choice. But it has become way too popular and way too much of an excuse for so many people to claim PTSD over something, to claim trauma over something, to claim victim mentality, because it's a choice. They'd rather choose that because it keeps them comfortable and it gets them what they want rather than what they truly need. There is deep psychological studies, if you really want to go the professional route, that discuss this and see people who actually choose to embrace trauma, even though, well, the trauma was so bad, I don't want to talk about it, relive it, or anything, but they choose it every single day. I'm not specifically talking about the professional diagnoses, okay? But I am talking about the things in our life that we use as excuses. You're going to have to take a long, hard look at what that is in your life. I am trying to walk a fine line here, and I don't want to offend anybody, but I'm going to preach the word, and if you're offended, don't come to me. If you want to, that's fine. You can come to me. I'm joking around. You can always come to me. Trust me. There's nothing you're going to say that I don't tell myself or I haven't heard before. I think if you rummage through the dumpster, you'll find ones just like it. Okay. That was a joke. Okay. But the purpose we need to live, we are without excuse to live it. We're without excuse to live that purpose that we are called. And when we look at what happened with Peter walking on water, remember I said, maybe we need to change the perspective. I want to look at the ones who didn't get out of the boat. Why didn't they get out of the boat? Fear. Fear of failure. Well, Peter failed and he was all right. So knowing the story, that already eliminates that excuse. That already eliminates that excuse. Fear of failure? What happened when Peter began to fail? Jesus caught him. You're afraid to live out your purpose. You're afraid to live out your calling for fear of failure. No matter what, Jesus will catch you. He is faithful. So you are without excuse. Who else didn't get out of the boat? Rejection. I mean, what if you said, Jesus, call me out of the boat. And he says, no, this is just for me. No, I don't think Jesus would do that. But ultimately, sometimes, in the grand scheme of things, to live out our calling, to live out our purpose as a Christian, as a disciple maker, as somebody who preaches the gospel, as somebody that is hospitable, as somebody that serves other people, somebody that goes above and beyond and wears, hear this, they wear the scars of this earth, and it doesn't stop them. To live out a purpose, you're going to be rejected. You're going to be hurt. You're going to be criticized. Now, I don't think you're going to get anywhere near, as of right now anyway, and depending on where you go, but you're not going to get anywhere near the persecution some of them early churchgoers got. But even so, rejection is part of it. But who would you rather be rejected by, this world or by God? Depart from me, I never knew you. You have a choice. You choose. Are we afraid of responsibility? That goes two ways. The responsibility of the calling and the responsibility we already have that infringes upon the calling. It's why there's a teaching in Scripture that says it better ought not to be married. It's not that you shouldn't get married, but if you get married, your mission changes. Because to glorify God in your marriage is to take care of your spouse and your kids and your household and your livestock, if you got them, or animals, or whatever. That's glorifying to God. But now those things, they take up time. They take up energy. So you don't have as much time to singularly focus on the things of the kingdom of heaven and reaching the lost because you have filled your time with other things. That is what that teaching talks about. That's the context of it. It doesn't say don't get married. It just says you're better off not to because then you could just focus on God. But when you get married, honoring God is taking care of your family. I think we get that. But see, that responsibility we have, I know people that have battled going on the mission field because they're like, what about finances? What about the country I'm going to? I have kids. I have a wife. Traveling. All these different things. What if the world climate changes? What if all of a sudden there's a shutdown again? What if all of a sudden there's all this stuff that can happen? And it becomes weird. It becomes a struggle. It becomes a struggle. And in those things, it ties into the same answer as failure, is that Jesus is always faithful. Because the ones that were so busy with their own responsibility, they weren't even in the boat. The ones that were in the boat were the ones that already understood, I left my net. I left it already to seek after God, to be a disciple of Jesus. So it's not whether they got out of the boat and walked on water. No, it's they weren't even in the boat. If we want the opportunity for God's purpose and calling for our life, we make it a priority to get in the boat. People that are late. I'm sorry. I try to be understanding, but even with kids, I don't get it. I don't get it. If we got to be somewhere, and I'm talking to my wife, church in the morning, I got to be here. Well, I work here, so I got to be here a little bit early, but I'm like, all right, we can fight on the way to church, but you're going to be ready and going out the door on time. Not really. Okay, understand. It's all about priorities. It's all about a choice. Set your alarm earlier. Well, I need this. Well, then change something else the night before. Then change something else during your day. It's about priorities, because the other people that didn't get out of the boat were the people that were late to the boat. Didn't get to the boat in time. When Jesus said, meet me here and do this and do that, and he's calling disciples, the one that said, oh no, I'm going to be late, and he gets there and they're already gone because they didn't make it a priority. Your purpose and calling, don't be late for it. God has grace and mercy for all these things, by the way. None of this is condemnation on you. All right? You're going to try. You're going to live your purpose. You're going to fail. You're going to stumble. It happens. God's grace is there. But the thing is that we don't stop pursuing God, and we don't stop trying to live out our purpose. You will not stop me. Nothing will stop me from trying to live this out. That's the perspective. Then I said there was the responsibility of the calling. Just before I get to that, let me add. There's some people that responsibility, they get so busy in life. Schedules show off their calendars. It's busy. It's just booked. It's booked. But you know what? They're spiritually idle. Idle hands are the devil's workshop. And I'm not trying to change scripture, but I'm giving you a perspective. You can be busy all you want in this world, but it's not going to solve idle hands. You toil with something that is purposeless and is not your purpose and not your calling and not fulfilling. Why do you think those that are the busiest, busier than you could possibly be in this world, that are the upper 1% and all these different things and got the billions, millions of dollars, why do you think they're so depressed? Why do you think they're so sad? Why do you think the suicide rates are so high? Why do you think that? Because it's not fulfilling to be busy with the things of this world. You need to be busy in the spirit. You need to be living out the purpose that you were called to. Busy life, but an idle spirit. But then there's the responsibility of what comes next. That responsibility of, I don't know if I want to take that on. I understand. And this isn't a woe is me moment, but I've had to learn a whole lot about, when I became a pastor, what I was allowed to do and not do. And I'm not talking about sin. I'm talking about appeasing you. Appeasing you. Why? because it can ruin my testimony. It can ruin my ministry from the stage. If I offend somebody for something that has nothing to do with Scripture and nothing to do with truth, and it was my opinion on the Packers or my opinion on whatever it is, that's one that I still haven't changed yet. I'm sorry. But I'm just messing around. But no, opinion on something that I offend somebody because of this. You know how long it took for me to be able to wear jeans on the stage when I preach? I got to be honest, I woke up a little bit tired this morning. Girls woke me up a little bit early. I was not feeling like getting all dressed up. But I've had to sit in that office, and I've had to be sit down by my boss, not my dad, boss, and be told, you need to dress different. No more hoodies under your flannel and doing this and that. You laugh, but that was a direct instruction. And guess what? It wasn't because of his opinion. The things that I talk about up on stage and reference, I can't insert too much personal dialogue. Again, this is not a woe is me thing. I'm giving you an example of what it is to answer the call and purpose for your life. We like to post on social media. We like to get the likes. We like to people to know what we're doing. It's relational. It could be a light if I, you know, post and they get to see my life and this and that. But guess what? I don't post what movies I'm going to. I don't post. Now, I don't even do this at all, but I'm giving an example from the other person perspective. I don't post me out to dinner with my wine. I don't do this. I don't do that. When you answer the call, you have to live above reproach. That means there are things that are not sin that we do not do. Do you get that? Do you understand? Not giving the appearance of evil. It doesn't mean that it's sinful things. Of course, we all need to eliminate sin from our life. I don't care if you're living the call and the purpose or not. We all need to try to do that. But there are things in our life that give the appearance of evil that are not above reproach, but we are commanded as Christians to live above that so it changes. And we change the way we live, and we change what we allow to be public. And it doesn't mean we're hypocrites and we're hiding things, but this is a whole nother sermon about the liberties we feel and what we're okay doing and being a stumbling block and all these different things, okay? Whole nother sermon. But to answer the call, it's responsibility. You know what else part of answering the call is investing in somebody, pouring your time into somebody, praying with somebody. And when you're doing that stuff, it's hard not to have your lives just connected. It's hard not to just care. And then when they turn their back on it all, and it breaks your heart. That's part of the responsibility too. So I get it. Being afraid of the responsibility to answer the call. Some plant, some water, God gives the increase. We are not God. When we live out our purpose and our call, our job is just that, to plant and to water. The increase is not because of me. It never will be. You can lead a horse to water, can't make it drink. It's the same with people. You lead them, you invite them to church, you lead them to the Lord, you answer some of the questions, you do all these different things. But if they decide to turn, it is not my responsibility. I can't take that on because I'm not God. Don't be afraid of that. And if you're afraid of losing some of the comforts and liberties you have to live above reproach, I'm just going to say it. You're lukewarm anyway. Yeah, it might not be a sin issue, but if you're not, you can't cut this to do this, to serve God, to live of the purpose and do this, you're making a friend of this world. You're idolizing the things of this world. You're saying that's a priority over the calling and the purpose that God has called me to in relationship with him. Do you understand that? There's another group of people that didn't get out of the boat. They were probably there, but they didn't get out of the boat. And this is my favorite group because they fire me up. Pharisees. Well, I'm already following Jesus. Why do I gotta go do that? I'm already here. I've already been a disciple. I've already been following. Already been with him for a while. Already been seeing him do the work. Already read my Bible. Already tithe. Already do this. Already do that. I'm a Christian. I've been a Christian for years. I've already done this. I already listened to pastor. I know pastor's middle name. I know the name of his dog. I know all these things. See, Pharisees believe in comparison justifies them instead of the blood of Jesus Christ. And the blood of Jesus Christ is what justifies us, but the only way that it justifies us is true repentance. If we look in Luke, it talks about this in a very interesting story where there is a Pharisee who kneels down and he's praying and he says all the things he's done. All the things he doesn't do and does. He says, I don't do this like the adulterers. I don't do this like the idolaters. I don't do this. I don't do this. I don't do this. And I tithe and I do this and I do this. And he does all that. And then a tax collector walks in. And a tax collector says, Jesus, or God, have mercy on me, for I am sinful. And in this story, the story wraps up, and Jesus says, the tax collector walked away under the grace of God. The Pharisee did not. Because your little game of comparison and your little checklist and your little Boy Scouts badges for coming to church and earning those in Christianity mean nothing. They have a purpose, and if you use them and use them as tools for their intended purpose to build your relationship with God that inspires faith, that turns into action, boom, healthy. But if all I'm trying to do is earn these things and do these things, complete these things, because that means I get into heaven, and I'm going to complete these things because that's what I'm supposed to do, and it has nothing to do with our relationship with God and building up faith, and does not produce action or fruit, it is dead. Another conversation with my friend Brendan. One of the most amazing things he said, and it brought me back to a sermon that I preached long time ago. It's important that we ask ourselves this question often, but he said something to me that I was like, yo, Brendan, you got it, dude. You got it figured out. No, not because he's perfect, not because he does anything, all the things right, not because of any of this, but because he's asking the right questions. And he's trying and he's pursuing. He said, you know, there's probably more times than I realize where I'm the Pharisee. And brought me back to my message years and years and years ago where I preached a message about Moses and Pharaoh and the hardening of the heart. And I asked an important question because for some reason, we do this thing. It's like me when I watch movies. If there's a superhero or a main character, I envision myself as the main character. And I actually have a very deep rooted, I'm going to be vulnerable with you guys for a minute. I have a very deep irrational fear when I watch movies that have a superhero or whatever action dude in it. I have a deep, I'm telling you, it's like a legitimate fear that keeps me awake at night sometimes. Not all the time. The Lord has helped me. I've progressed. That I'm one of the people in the background. Living a meaningless life, living one day where I don't feel like I did something purposeful, I go insane. I'm a growth-oriented person. I'm a doer type person sometimes, depending on what it is. But like, I am very much a dreamer and a schemer and all these different things. And if I live one day where I feel like I didn't live out the purpose or the calling that God has for me, I go insane. It drives me nuts. I feel worthless, and I don't want to live a worthless life. So I'm just being vulnerable with you. But when I watch these movies, I have main character syndrome where I'm like, I just envision myself as the main character, the good guy. I just imagine that. I just see that. I look on there and I'm like, yeah, I'm the guy that could fight 50 people in this dojo, come out unscathed. Could I actually do that? Probably not. Actually, not. There's no probably about it. But see, we do the same thing when we read the Bible. We read the stories, and we're the people that are doing it right. But I remember I preached that message about Moses and Pharaoh and the hardening heart, and I said, are we Pharaoh? When's the last time you read that story or watched Prince of Egypt or watched the Ten Commandments? Who has a day and a half to watch the Ten Commandments? No, I'm just kidding. Sorry. My dad loves it if he's watching this right now. I'm going to have to sit down in the office and have another talking to you. That's probably what's going to happen. But no, really. Who watches that and watches it and looks at it and says, yeah, see that guy, the bad guy, the guy who hardened his heart, the guy who enslaved people, the guy who treated people less than, the one who judged everybody, the one who had selfish motives, the one that made his own plan and decided to go with it instead of God's plan, the one where God kept knocking and gave chances and chances and chances and chances. And he kept turning it down, turning it down, turning it down, letting past things and culture decide how he would live. Yeah, that guy, that's not me. So are we the Pharisees? Because they wouldn't get out of the boat either. They think they've done enough. They're isolated. They like to live in their little hovel. The only people they let in is people that reaffirm what they believe. If you remember that message I preached about the Christians that sit around and just virtue signal to each other. The only challenging thing they let in is things that, oh, that challenges me, but it's because I'm already like three steps ahead on that one. Instead of actually being broken down, understanding I am nothing but an ant who doesn't do it right, and I have failed. I haven't even come close to 0.1% of getting this right, and I kneel down before you, God, and beg for grace and mercy. I've hit those moments. I've hit those moments. It's not every moment, but it's a lot of moments. There's a difference. Pharisees like to control. They like to control what messages come into their ear. They pick and choose who their pastor is. They pick and choose who's speaking. And that message, if they don't like it, they're going to find every flaw in it. Well, I don't think that lines up with Scripture. That, oh, I don't understand that. I'm confused. I don't understand that. That doesn't make sense. Oh, no. That, well, they can't really. I'm just going to go listen to what I always listen to that doesn't challenge me, and I get to stay in my little comfort bubble. Because I ain't getting out of the boat. You know, a home, your house, your four walls, whatever they call it. There's always more than four walls in a house. But I guess they're talking about the outside. But now houses are odd shaped. Like, anyway, you get the point. Within your four walls of your house, they're only as good as the hospitality and the people you invite over. Scripture calls us to that. It's part of our calling and our purpose is to be hospitable and serve one another. I've seen some of the most immaculate houses, some of the most beautiful houses I've been able to see and witness. That's cool and great, but then they never have somebody over. They never invite people in. It's faith without action. You here have been fed. You've been learning, you've been seeking, you've been asking, you've experienced God. You have had so much faith built up within you. You are this big, beautiful house, but you don't put any action. The call and the purpose for your life. You got to live it. You got to put it into action. In 2 Corinthians 5:7, it tells us we live by faith and not by sight. And when we are letting fear, responsibility, rejection, our Pharisee mindset, we're going by things that we see. We're going by our own plan, our own thought process, our own things that we focus on in front of us. You know what's wild is I've been in the wild. I like to hunt. I do. I like to hunt. I went with my dad once. We were going to go set up a bear bait spot up in Jackson County. Some of the, I don't know if it's state forest, whatever forest up there. And it's huge. Huge. And we go up there and we're walking around and there's a path, but then there's a path that cuts back this way. And my dad says, do you have your compass? And I said, I think. He's like, you should always have your compass. And I'm like, I know where I'm going. We're not going that far. Well, that's because when I go by myself, I don't go that far. But when my dad goes somewhere and he wants to scout, you better plan for like a 5-hour trip. We're going through. All of a sudden, we're walking. I'm like, oh, yeah, this is good looking. All right, cool. And then he's just trudging along. And I'm like, there's no path. Not that there has to be, but also this is a swamp. Like, this is bogs, logs, break your ankle type stuff. If I didn't know, I would think there's anacondas in there, but we live in Wisconsin, so. But you never know. That's how my brain works. But we're walking through. Well, then there gets to a point where I'm like, we set up the bait site, which was nowhere near anywhere we explored. I don't know. Okay. The first place that we planned on baiting for bear is what we went with. I don't know why we spent the 3 hours going over here, but either way, got a good day with my dad. And so I'm walking through, and I'm like, oh, I forgot to turn on the camera. Of course, the trail camera on the bait. Of course. So I got to go back. You go back to the truck. He goes to the truck. I'm going back to the bait site. I'm walking back. I'm Marco Poloing Ben McPherson. So I have video proof of this. But anyway, I'm walking back, and all of a sudden, I hear a gunshot. And I'm like, well, wait a second. Which way was Dad again? Uh-oh. And then I hear another gunshot. And I'm like, uh-oh. So where my concealed carry is, I just pull the shirt up a little bit. Just like, just in case we need to, things get a little cowboy out here. Okay. Oh. But I'm like, what in the world? And I'm walking and I'm like, I'm not lost. Okay. I know the general direction. But also, then I hear another gunshot. Then I hear a gunshot and tick, 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 crashes right behind me. I'm like, oh man. That's what I said. Sorry. This isn't youth service. Okay. So I said, oh man. So now I am down on the ground, Marco Poloing Ben. I got to go. So I stopped the video, bang, and then all of a sudden off to my left, tick, 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 crash. And I'm like, I need to get out of here. So I start like crawl walking until my legs can't take it anymore, or squat walking until my legs can't take it anymore. I'm like, forget it. If I die, I die. I'm walking. I'm just going to walk normal. And then I start hearing my dad yell, and I'm like, oh, you're over there. Okay. Start heading that way. And he's like, I thought it was you. He's like, I thought maybe you thought there was a bear or something. I said, no, it's not me. These bullets are falling right behind me. It was somebody, the private property next to it, shooting a target, not using a backstop. Anyway, beside the point was when we got back to the truck and we're driving home, and then I pull up this app called Onyx. It's an app, satellite images from above, and you can, like, pin where your stuff is, and I'm looking at it, and I'm like, oh, that looks totally different. That looks totally different. God's perspective is greater than yours. The view that he has is greater than yours. Okay? So when we're in the thick of it, can't see the forest through the trees, when we can't know which direction what's going in the world, and all these things start flying overhead and start threatening us and all these different things, and it's chaos. we are still supposed to live out our purpose and our calling. And we trust that the eyes above know best. My perspective is not always right. When I look around and I don't understand the plan, Proverbs 16, oh boy, I can't read my own writing. Is that a 4 or a 9? It's a 9. It looks like a 4. Good thing I can read, though. It's a 9. Proverbs 16, 9, we make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps. Pharisees don't get that. People that are late miss it. Those who have too much busyness going on don't make time for it. Those who are afraid of the journey sit at home and hide. Those who have fear of failure never take the first step. Only those who trust in the Lord. They live out the calling. They live out the purpose. They make it a priority.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.